After 12 days of agony, Enkidu dies and leaves Gilgamesh alone with his grief. It is a tragic moment in the epic, though epics are not necessarily tragic. The Homeric poems contain both the tragedy of Achilles and the romance of Odysseus, with its happy ending for him, if not for the suitors and the little dangling maids. Enkidu could easily be seen as a tragic hero, pulled out of his Eden into the corrupt world of humans to suffer an arbitrary death sentence from the gods. And, as reconciled as he seems, there is a certain lingering bitterness about his death. One might say that his death was caused by Gilgamesh's monster hunting, just as his birth was caused by Gilgamesh's tyranny. But more accurately, Enkidu caused his own death by insisting that Gilgamesh kill Humbaba. If they had let the monster live, all would have been well. The fact that neither Enkidu nor Gilgamesh ever realizes this is part of the pathos of the situation. Gilgamesh's lament at the beginning of Book 8 is one of the most beautiful elegies in literature. In it, he asks both the natural world and the world of the city to join him as he mourns his friend. The simple, repeated phrases of his lament are exquisitely sorrowful. My beloved friend is dead. He is dead. My beloved brother is dead. I will mourn as long as I breathe. I will sob for him like a woman who has lost her only child. Gilgamesh's grief is too intense for any understanding to penetrate. There is no way, in spite of Enkidu's first dream, that he can make a casual connection between the killing of Humbaba and Enkidu's death. For him, the events just occurred, one after the other. And he can still boast of the killings, unconscious that they have cost him his beloved friend. Indeed, the music of his grief is so enchanting that, for the time being, we don't even want him to understand. Beloved friend, swift stallion, wild deer, leopard ranging in the wilderness, Enkidu, my friend, swift stallion, wild deer, leopard ranging in the wilderness. Together we crossed the mountains. Together we slaughtered the bull of heaven. We killed Humbaba, who guarded the cedar forest. Actually, he is in a trance of pain. Even if he could understand why Enkidu died, it wouldn't matter. The brute fact of the event would blot out any other consideration. He is so overwhelmed by the sight of Enkidu's lifeless body that, a dozen lines after lamenting that his friend is dead, he can no longer even find a name for death. As a great warrior, he has seen and caused many deaths, but now, for the first time, death is an intimate reality, and he can barely recognize it. Oh, Enkidu! What is this sleep that has seized you, that has darkened your face and stopped your breath? Even though he has been up all night, sobbing for Enkidu, he can't let himself know what has happened. It's as if he has never seen a corpse before. He reacts like a young child, or like an animal sniffing at the dead body of its mate, bewildered. He half expects Enkidu to answer. When he touches Enkidu's heart, he seems surprised that it isn't beating. It takes a while longer for Gilgamesh to finally acknowledge that his friend is dead. But even then, his first gesture is to make death into a kind of marriage. He can't help treating Enkidu as if he were still alive and in mortal danger. After being the desolate bridegroom, he becomes the anxious mother. Then he veiled Enkidu's face like a bride's. Like an eagle Gilgamesh circled around him, he paced in front of him back and forth, like a lioness whose cubs are trapped in a pit. He tore out clumps of his hair, tore off his magnificent robes as though they were cursed.